Please turn with me now in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 3, verses 12 to 18. We are working our way together through this particular epistle, and this morning we want to consider together boldness in both life and ministry. Again, our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Let's hear God's word. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we come to your word this morning, we do pray that the veil might be removed from our hearts, that we might see in your word something of your glory, something of your excellence, something of your true eternal splendor, Lord. Open our eyes that we might understand and see wonderful things in your word. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever feel kind of timid or shy? Maybe sometimes you're hesitant or you're reluctant to say something or do something, even though you really strongly believe it's the right thing to do. Sometimes God lays something on your heart, and you're just convinced that you need to speak to this person. You ought to reach out to this person and welcome this person or be reconciled to this person or help out this person. Sometimes God lays something on your heart and you're convinced, you're convicted at the deepest levels of your being that it's time for action. It's time for change. Perhaps you've just been convicted that you've been just kind of drifting along for too long, and it's time to take your spiritual walk to another level. It's time to get serious. It's time to get committed. It's time to make a break with certain sins. It's time to press on in your Christian life. Sometimes you come to that realization that you're past the time for reflection. And now it's time to step out in faith. I mean, that's the Christian life, is stepping out in faith. Maybe it's breaking away from a bad relationship you need to get out of. But maybe it's stepping towards someone, initiating a new relationship. There's times in life when you know God is calling you to speak. To speak out for what is right, to speak out for what is true, or to step towards someone in love, or to get involved in ministry, or to commit yourself. There are times when you know you got to quit holding back, quit protecting yourself, and put yourself out there and reach out to people in love. There's times that God puts on your heart when you know it's time to act. And yet sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we know God is calling us to do something or to say something, but we're afraid. Well, what I want you to see this morning is that although there are times when we as Christians might be afraid, there are also times when we can be very bold. Remember where we left off last week. We saw that the Christian life and Christian ministry can be very humbling. That often we don't enjoy the kind of outward splendor that was common in the old covenant. That we're not like Moses, who comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. We're not like Moses, who comes down from the mountain, his face is shining with the glory of God. Our lives today tend to be much more humble. We don't enjoy the splendor of the Old Testament temple with all of its majesty and all its trappings and all the gold. We don't have the huge crowds and all the fame and all the influence that certain celebrities enjoy today. In comparison, our work tends to be very humble. And yet, Paul says, our work is marked by the ministry of God's Spirit. What was the Old Covenant ministry was glorious, and yet And yet Paul says in many ways it was a ministry of condemnation. Because even though the Ten Commandments are wonderful, the people often didn't respond to them in faith. And so ultimately they were simply condemned by them. The Ten Commandments just exposed their sin and their guilt. And Paul says, but under the New Covenant era, God's Spirit is poured out in fullness. Whereas Moses' ministry was limited primarily to certain area in Old Testament Israel, now God's Spirit is being poured out in people all over the world. And Paul says that's the glory of your life and your ministry, that God's Spirit is using you to touch people's lives. We saw last time that in Paul's day, people would sometimes go from town to town, religious speakers, carrying letters of recommendation by which they would boast in their great spiritual accomplishments. Look what how many crowds gathered in my last city. Look at all the miracles I performed in the past. Behold my testimonials. And Paul said, we don't have that. We don't have anything to boast in of ourselves. But he says, you are our letter of recommendation. God writing his word upon your heart. And so we pick up this morning with verse 12. Paul says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. You may be a nurse. Maybe you're a nurse and you work with patients all day long, and maybe it's not very glamorous at all because you're working with sickness. You're working with illness. You're working with people in pain, and maybe they aren't always real grateful because they don't feel good, and sometimes it's dirty and it's messy work, and it's humbling. Or maybe you work in a prison. And you work with inmates. You work with maybe a very tough crowd. And maybe a lot of people, you can't believe a word they say. And in the eyes of the world, it's not very glamorous work. But you're doing it for the Lord. And so as a nurse, you try to be gentle and you try to be compassionate. As a prison guard, you know, even though you have certain rules you have to follow, you still try to treat inmates as human beings, as real people. And even though it's not famous and you're not going to get wealthy and you're not going to be a celebrity, there's something glorious about what you do because you're doing it for the Lord. Because God's Spirit gives you gifts, he gives you a heart, he gives you compassion, and he uses you to minister to people's lives. Paul says that's glorious. It may not be the outward splendor of a giant temple. It may not be like tablets of stone brought down from the mountain, but there's a certain glory to God's Spirit using you to change people's lives. And so he says, because of that, we are bold. We are very bold. Some people base their confidence in their own achievements. They've got to have that pat on the back. They've got to have some letter of recommendation. They've got to have the fame and the money because that's what they build their confidence on. But we find our confidence in the Lord. Paul did not even have the support of a lot of the people in the church in Corinth. People were critical of him because he wasn't much to look at. He wasn't a dynamic speaker. He didn't have all these accomplishments to boast in like other people. But he says we can be bold because God's Spirit is being poured out. God's Spirit is equipping us and God's Spirit is using us. We find our confidence in the Lord. And this is what Paul says. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses. Now, you have to be careful here because Paul is not criticizing Moses. Moses was a godly man. He was a great hero of the faith. Paul isn't criticizing Moses, but rather he's showing the inadequacy, the limitations of the ministry of the old covenant under Moses. He says, we're not like Moses who would put a veil over his face. We read this morning in the call to worship that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was radiant. His skin was reflecting the splendor and the glory of the presence of God. And when the people saw him, they were frightened. They were intimidated. And so first Moses spoke to the people. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He told them what God said. And then Moses had to cover his face with a veil. We would call it a scarf or a head covering or something. He covers his face because the people were frightened by the fact that his face was so radiant. There's an ancient rabbinic tradition that I think is accurate that says the Jewish people were frightened because they were sinful. While Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, while he was on the mountain having fellowship with the Lord, the people were down below and they were complaining, "Where's Moses? He's been gone forever. We're tired of waiting for him. Let's make our own God." And so while Moses was up meeting with the Lord, receiving the Ten Commandments, down below the people fashioned the golden calf. And they said, "Here's the Lord who brought us out of Egypt, this golden calf." And they began to worship this golden calf. Then here comes Moses. And he comes down from the mountain and his face is radiant. He's obviously been in the presence of the living God. And he begins to speak to the people. And what does he say? He says, "This is what the Lord says. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the household of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make unto thee a graven image." And the people were ashamed. They couldn't stand the glory off Moses' face because it convicted them. And so Paul says it was the limitations of the Mosaic ministry that so many of the people heard the Ten Commandments, but they didn't respond in faith. They didn't repent. They didn't believe. And so they were just condemned by the Ten Commandments. And so Moses had to cover up his face and conceal that glory because they couldn't handle it. Paul says, "We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end." I mentioned last week that some suggest that Moses would come from the presence of God and his face would be radiant, and then over time it would begin to fade like a suntan. And so perhaps Paul is saying that one reason Moses kept the scarf over his face was so people couldn't see it fading, and then it would be renewed when he went back into the presence of God. But I think rather what Paul is emphasizing here is he's already shown us there was something temporary about the old covenant ministry. It was limited to a certain time in the nation of Israel. And I think what Paul is saying here is the old covenant ministry was glorious. It was wonderful. It was splendid. But it was temporary. And even though it was glorious, even though it was temporary, the people couldn't handle the glory and Moses had to cover it up. But Paul says, we're not like that. We can be very bold. We're not like Moses who had to put a veil over his face. In other words, the ministry of Moses tended only to condemnation because the people did not respond to his word in faith. But now that God's Spirit is being poured out, we don't have to be like Moses and hold back. We don't have to be like Moses and cover up the glory of God. We can be unashamed. We can be bold. There's an old Syriac expression in which uncovering face, it meant boldness. It was common in ancient cultures that to cover your face was a sign of shame. Not that Moses was ashamed, but Paul seems to be using that image to say, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. We don't have to hold back. We don't have to be like Moses and cover anything up. We can be bold because we can trust that our ministry won't just condemn people, but God's Spirit is using us to write his word on people's hearts. And so you don't have to hold back. You can love. You can serve. You can speak, you can act, you can reach out in faith because you can trust that God's Spirit is using you to reach people's hearts. Paul says we can be very bold. He goes on to say, their minds, that is the Hebrew people under the ministry of Moses, their minds were hardened. That is, the old covenant ministry was glorious. The Ten Commandments are glorious, but they didn't see it. In their minds, the Ten Commandments was just another list of things to do. 10 steps to follow, ways to earn your way to heaven, how to be a good Jewish person. They didn't see the glory in it. He says, their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted. Just like Moses had to wear a veil that covered the glory from the people. He says in the same way, it's like there's a veil or a blindfold. And when people read the Bible, they don't see the glory. Even today, people think Christianity is about do's and don'ts, about a bunch of rules. It's just about tradition and old myths, and people don't see the glory. He says it's as if a veil remains over our eyes. Only Christ takes away the veil and enables us to really understand God's word. This is what Paul says. He says, their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Only Jesus can open up people's eyes to enable them to see the glory of who he is and what he's done. The Bible is not primarily a list of do's and don'ts. It's not just primarily a book of rules. The Bible is an account of who God is and what he's done for you. And it's glorious. Remember, there were two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And the resurrected Jesus came alongside of them. And somehow they didn't recognize him. They were kept from recognizing him. And so Jesus asked them what they're talking about. And they say, don't you know, haven't you heard all the things going on in Jerusalem? How Jesus was a man mighty in word and deed. And we believed him to be the Messiah. But they crucified him. And now even this morning, some of our numbers, some women claim they've seen him risen from the dead. And what does Jesus say to them? These are disciples. They're followers of Christ. And Jesus says to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that is written in the law and the prophets. In other words, they were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. But there was something in all the law and the prophets that they weren't seeing. They weren't believing. It says Jesus then proceeded to show them from Moses to the prophets how all the old covenant reveals that the Messiah had to suffer and then enter into glory. In other words, the Bible is not primarily a bunch of rules, but it is primarily the account of a God who is so glorious that we cannot even bear to look upon him, and yet he, as it were, came down from the mountain. He who is the light of the world, he came down, and in a sense, he became darkness. The world became dark. The darkness of God's wrath fell upon him that God might smile and shine on you. The story of the Bible is the account of the glory of God, who is so glorious that we don't deserve to look upon him. And yet he is so glorious that he came down and gave his life for you. And only Christ can open someone's eyes to enable them to see the wonder and the glory of who he is. As Paul says, We can be bold. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You know, well, he's the light of the world, but just like Moses came down reflecting the light of the glory of God, so we reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, you're the light of the world, so let your light shine. You don't take light and put it under a bucket or under a bushel. But he says, you let it shine for the world to see, because we're in the new covenant era. Because God is pouring out his spirit, we don't have to be ashamed. It doesn't mean you're indiscreet. It doesn't mean you want to be obnoxious. But you don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. You can live in love. You can reach out in faith. You can step out in faith. You can make those commitments. You can make those changes. You know, sometimes we're afraid to commit to something. You don't have to live in fear. Paul says we can be very bold. Jesus says, let your light shine, that others might see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. Okay, we can be bold because the Lord removes the veil from our hearts. Verse 16, he says, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Remember in our call to worship this morning, it said that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was shining. It was radiant. But then after he would speak to the people, Moses would cover up his face until he was going to go back to visit the Lord again, at which time he would remove the veil as he goes into the presence of the Lord. It says when he would return to the Lord, he would remove the veil. Paul seems to be playing on that expression, and he's saying, when you turn to the Lord, your veil is removed. Okay, by nature, we are spiritually blind. All we see is religion. All we see is church. We don't see the glory. But when you turn to the Lord removes your blindness and he opens your eyes to see the glory of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. He says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. What he means there is that just like Moses would return to the Lord by going into the tabernacle, we don't have a tabernacle to go into. We turn to the Holy Spirit. He says, the Lord is the Spirit, so we look to the Holy Spirit to remove the blinders from our eyes. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Moses was the great emancipator. I mean, he brought the people out of Egypt. He brought them out of bondage. So the whole ministry of Moses was really one of liberation, and yet it was partial. And it was incomplete because though the people were delivered from Egypt, in some ways they still remained slaves. They were slaves to unbelief. Even though they had the Ten Commandments, most of them didn't really trust the Lord. They didn't understand. They didn't believe. And therefore they were condemned by the Ten Commandments. And they were slaves of their own sin. Even if they wanted to do the right thing, they couldn't do it. But the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom. God's Spirit sets us free from unbelief. I mean, that's bondage when you think you know what the world is all about, and you think you know who you are, and you think you understand everything, and you're really blind. That's bondage. God's Spirit sets you free from that by opening our eyes and giving us the gift of faith. God's Spirit sets us free from condemnation by applying the work of Christ in our hearts. In the old covenant, there was the ministry of sacrifice. But the people didn't understand it. They thought, this is just one more thing we've got to do. What good is the death of Christ on the cross if no one understands it? But the Holy Spirit removes the veil from your eyes so that you see your guilt and your need, so you understand what Christ has done. The Holy Spirit takes the work of Jesus and applies it to you so that your sins are paid for, your sins are forgiven. The Spirit applies the work of Jesus Christ to your heart. And God's Spirit sets us free from sin by writing his word upon our hearts and enabling us to walk in the path of his commandments. Even if you wanted to obey the Ten Commandments on your own, they condemn us. Because sometimes we do put things before God. Even if you don't make an image like the golden calf, we still have our own image in our mind, our own idea of what God ought to be like. And even if you don't curse and take God's name in vain in that way, we don't call upon the name of the Lord Jesus as we ought. And so the Ten Commandments condemn us. But when God's Spirit opens up our eyes and gives us the gift of faith and turns our heart to Jesus and applies the work of Christ to us, he begins to write the Ten Commandments on our heart. And so more and more you want to have the Lord first in your life. And you want to know him as he is and not just the way you think he is. And you want to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. God's Spirit applies the Ten Commandments to you to grow you and to change you so that more and more you begin to obey. More and more you begin to follow the Lord. He writes his word on our hearts and he enables us to walk in the path of his commandments. And so Paul concludes our text with verse 18. And so we all, with unveiled face, that is the way Moses would go into the presence of God, unashamed, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. In the temple, you could only go so far if you were a Gentile. If you were an Israelite, you could go a little further. If you were a priest, you could go a little further. If you were the highest priest, the chief priest, you could go a little further, but only on certain times of the day. But Paul says, if you're in Christ, you're like Moses. You can go all the way into the presence of God and you can behold his glory. He says, we all with unveiled face, meaning without shame, boldly, we can go into the presence of God. What Paul is saying here is that you can be bold in life. You can be bold in ministry. You can take risk, not in a careless way, but risking your reputation out of love. You can risk getting hurt because you love somebody. You can step out in faith. You can be bold in life because you can be bold in your relationship with God. If you can go into the presence of he who dwells in unapproachable light, are you really going to be afraid of your neighbor? Are you going to really worry about this person thinks if you can come into the presence of God, you can be bold in life because you can be bold before God? Paul says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Just like when Moses would go into the presence of God and he would come out radiant, so when you go into the presence of God, you come out changed. Okay, it's inevitable. It's like when you put salt in something, it makes it salty. If you put sugar on something, it makes it sweet. Okay, salt and sugar have transformative properties. You can't resist that. Christ has certain transformative properties. It's not possible to be in the presence of Christ and not be changed. When you come into the presence of God, you are transformed. What does the scripture do? It testifies to who Jesus is. One way we come into the presence of Christ is through his word. We know him through his word. We come into his presence through prayer. Not walking into a temple or a tabernacle, but we go into the heavenly places, the reality, and we are changed by his presence. Paul says we're being transformed into the same image. He means Jesus Christ. The golden calf does not tell us who God is. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know who God is not some just a stern judge or an unhappy father. Jesus shows us who God is. That God is he who dwells in inapproachable light that we don't deserve to even look upon. And yet he so loves you that he came down from the mountain and he suffered death on a cross. That he might smile on you and shine on you. That's who God is. Jesus reveals who God is. And the more we spend time in his presence, I'm not just talking about coming to church. Worship is important. But we see it in the old covenant. It's possible to sit and just listen to God's word and walk away unchanged. We're talking about coming by faith into the presence of God, which we do through his word. We do it by prayer. We do it through Jesus. You come into his presence, you're going to be transformed more and more into his image. That means you become more and more like Jesus. It means you grow in wisdom. You grow in understanding. You grow in understanding yourself and understanding other people. You grow in courage. Jesus was never afraid. He was never intimidated by anybody. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more bold you become. It is inevitable that if you spend time with Christ, you're going to become more like him. Paul says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That means a little by a little. Okay. You may not see it. When Moses came down from the mountain, it says he didn't know his face was radiant. He didn't see that about himself because he had been looking at the Lord. He's thinking about the Lord. You don't see it in yourself. You may think you're not growing. In fact, maybe the more you grow, the more you see your inadequacies and your weakness, but other people see it in you. Okay, a little bit here, a little bit there, from one degree of glory to another. The more you spend time with the Lord, the more you are becoming like Jesus. Wiser, more compassionate, more self-sacrificial, more selfless, more bold, more willing to speak out on other people's behalf, more willing to risk yourself for someone else's good. You're becoming more like Jesus. He says, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul was being criticized because he wasn't tall, he wasn't much to look at, he wasn't very impressive as a speaker. And Paul isn't really interested in defending himself. Paul says, this is about the Lord. This is what God does. We don't have to get hung up on our own inabilities. I don't always know the right thing to say. You don't always know the right thing to do. But Paul says, this is all from the Lord. This is what God does. God's Spirit gives you gifts. God's Spirit equips you. God's Spirit uses you. And so you don't have to hold back. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid. You can be very bold because God has taken away the veil from your heart. And God takes away the veil from people that you're speaking to. You can be bold, not because you have all the answers, not because you have perfect knowledge, but because God's Spirit uses you to reach other people and touch people's lives. We can be very bold because God's Spirit is taking away the veil from other people's lives, from their hearts, enabling them to see Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this is what we desire. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus in our lives. We want the veil removed. We tire of just religion. We tire of just church. We want to see Jesus in the Word. We want to see Jesus in our life. As we come together in fellowship and worship, we want to see the glory of the Lord. Lord, that's what we want to see. And so we ask you to remove the blinders from our own eyes. And we pray this for our children. We pray this for their patients, for the people that we work with, the people we care for, the people in our family, in our neighborhood. Lord, we want them to see beyond us. We don't want them just to see our weaknesses and our shortcomings. We want them to see the glory of Jesus. We want them to see the glory of Jesus reflected in our lives. Lord, we pray for that. Help us. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to come into your presence. Help us to reflect more of your glory. Help us to go out in the world unashamed. Help us to go out and to be bold, not obnoxious, but compassionate and loving and self-forgetting. Lord, you said perfect love drives out fear. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves in love. Help us to step out in faith. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Not because we have confidence in ourselves, but because we have confidence in you and your Spirit, who takes the blinders off of people's eyes and enables them to see Jesus. This is our prayer, Lord. We pray for this. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.